The Israel Report with Rolling Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
How's it, Raylene? How are you doing today?
How's it, Hilt? I'm good, and you?
Fantastic. Always the better to be speaking to you.
Licker, licker.
So, apparently Israel has decided that there hasn't been enough controversy at the Western Wall. Let's open a little bit more. Apparently they've agreed to expand the non-Orthodox prayer area. What's going on there?
Yes, well, as you can understand, there's been a lot of to-ing and fro-ing between the government and Israel's Supreme Court, and between the supporters of an egalitarian prayer area. So the government has told Israel's Supreme Court that it does plan to expand and upgrade a space for non-Orthodox prayer or more egalitarian services at the southern section of the Western Wall near Robertson's Arch. And this is keeping with the agreement that there will be an egalitarian prayer space created for those purposes. And even though the supporters of ending this egalitarian prayer space have taken the government to the Supreme Court, the government have asked that the case be dismissed and they carry on making the arrangements for a more egalitarian prayer service. So there's been a lot of controversy around it. It has taken a very, very long time to reach some kind of agreement. There was a lot of controversy, and we were no stranger to it on the Israel Report a couple of weeks ago with some of the most, I have to say, aggressive messages coming in from some of our listeners, mm-hmm. but now the Prime Minister's office has confirmed that it has allocated more than $5 million, which will be used to upgrade and improve that area, and it will take about 10 months to complete. And this will go to court for more hearings at the end of the month on July 30th. Now, we've got Women of the Wall's chairperson, Anat Hoffman. She says that it's a substitute courtal agreement, and the state is trying to sell this to the Supreme Court, but the government is adamant that they have not reneged or changed the agreement. It has merely been frozen, but they will be allocating funds for the purposes of improving the prayer space.
Okay, so they're going to be improving the prayer space that is currently there, am I correct?
Yes, they're going to be expanding and improving on the prayer space that is currently there.
Okay, and how does that differ from the deal that has been made?
I don't think it should differ from the deal. I think that this is very, very strong words from Anat Hoffman saying that, you know, don't try and sell us a substitute by saying, well, you know, you're doing this, you're expanding, you're kind of trying to whitewash an already controversial issue. I think that Netanyahu has heard from American jury and European as well, and also very, very vocal supporters of an egalitarian prayer area quite vociferously. And if nothing is done, we are going to see some very, very strained relations between Israel and especially, but not only, American Jewry, as well as a lot of dissension internally. And I think that the Prime Minister has probably realized that even though we might have certain sectors of society who are very, very vocal and are against this, the majority of Israelis support inclusion. We support an egalitarian prayer area. We don't want to see relations with our diaspora communities deteriorate. And it's time maybe for the ruling Likud party to call the bluff of the more ultra-religious and see how it goes from there.
Absolutely. And just on that note, because this is something that I don't think we have actually discussed before, what you've just said now, the majority of Israelis do support this idea?
Yes, a poll was taken, and the majority of Israelis say, let's make this inclusive. We have no issue with the way they are now. We have no issues with something that is inclusive. And I know there are listeners who are not going to like this. A lot of Israelis feel that there are certain sectors of society who perhaps have more power than they should. good, and the average Israeli is tired of this. And if this is not sorted out, and many say that, you know, while Netanyahu said it was either my government or this, a lot of us are saying, you know what, perhaps you should have put it to the test, and maybe you would have found that you would have even more support if you did not pander to the ultra-Orthodox. And it's not all ultra-Orthodox, it's a certain sect within the ultra-Orthodox.
Absolutely, and I don't see how one actually affects the other at the end of the day. But moving on a little bit, clashes between worshippers and security on the Temple Mount.
Well, there have been a couple of very tense days, and this is in response to the metal detectors that have been put on the Temple Mount. And what we also do know is that tomorrow has been declared a day of rage. So you can bet your life that we will be gearing up with our security forces to ensure that worshippers who are coming to the Temple Mount or to the Old City will be able to do so in safety. This day of rage has been called by Fatah, who say that metal detectors, cameras, are absolutely unacceptable. We think that it's not just local Palestinians that who come to worship. It is people from around the world who come to worship on the Temple Mount. We know also that about 15 people have been injured in clashes between security forces and those who are protesting these new security procedures on the Temple Mount.
Now, on that, okay, so Fatah, that's Mahmoud Abbas's party. That's the ruling party.
That is Mahmoud Abbas's party.
Of the Palestinian Authority. So they've declared a day of rage. So for our listeners who aren't really don't really know what that means, what actually happens when they declare a day of rage?
Well, a day of rage will most likely include protests. They're planning to march on the Temple Mount towards the Al-Aqsa Mosque, and Fatah wants to hold a special prayer sitting on Friday. But a day of rage will inevitably mean some kind of protest or some kind of marching action against the Netanyahu government and the security forces. And very often these days of rage do get violent, and we will be, as you can well imagine, and preparing for that.
Yeah, no, because the reason that I'm asking that is, you know, over here when we're upset about something, there's call for marches, there's call for unity against a certain thing. But a day of rage to me, okay, because I know what a day of rage actually entails, but to me that kind of sounds like incitement.
Well, to us it sounds like incitement, and very often you will hear insightful kind of language happening on these occasions. So this is a cause for concern. I must be honest that I probably won't be going anywhere near Jerusalem, and especially the Old City, tomorrow. But, a lot of us feel frustrated by the futility of something like a day of rage. Why can't we have a day that calls for calm, that calls for peace, that calls for an end to the incitement kind of rhetoric? Why can't we have a day that calls for education and tolerance and
solidarity,
discourse and reconciliation and solidarity? I know that South Africans are marking Mandela Day today, a day of doing good deeds. Why, instead of having a day of rage, can't we have something like that, a day of good deeds?
Definitely. And then, so the Speaker of Knesset, Edelstein, slams the Jordanian comments in Parliament. Now, which comments were those, and what did Edelstein have to say about them?
Well, yesterday you asked if we had had any comment from the Israeli government, and today Yuli Edelstein, who's the Speaker of Knesset, actually slammed the head of the Jordanian parliament for praising the terrorists. He said, if you are unable to condemn terror attacks, just keep silent. And he said, you know, that this is unacceptable behavior. And you and I actually discussed it yesterday, Hilt. We said that Israel and Jordan have a peace agreement. And Yuli Edelstein, our Speaker of the Knesset, saying, in his comments, that it is unacceptable that a country that Israel has peaceful relations with carries on like this. And he said, and this comes from his statement, he says, in all my meetings in the international arena, I call for cooperation between parliaments in our region. I call on my colleagues to come to Jerusalem or wherever so that we can discuss what we can do for our countries. These statements and behavior by the Jordanian speaker distance us from peace. And he went on to say that it is absolutely inconceivable that any official in any country which has a peace agreement with us encourages the murder of Israeli civilians. And I just want to remind listeners that the Israeli civilians or Israelis that were killed were Druze officers. They were not Jews. They were Druze, proudly serving in our police forces. They were on guard on the Temple Mount on Friday when they were killed by three terrorists from the same family, the Jabarin family from al-Fahm. And just for those who are unfamiliar with the Druze are citizens of Israel. They follow a religion that is very, very secretive. They are not Jewish, and they are amongst the fiercest patriots, the most avid defenders in the IDF. They serve in our government. We have an eternal bond, the Jews and the Druze in Israel. We call it we refer to the Druze as our blood brothers, that we have a covenant of blood between Jews and our fellow citizens, the Druze. And if you are ever in Israel, you should check out the Druze villages. They are mostly in the north, like Daliat al-Kamal, and really enjoy the Druze food. It is quite phenomenal.
And they're such a warm and friendly people, I found.
The warmest people, the most hospitable, the friendliest people, the most incredible leaders in our IDF. We can't forget a colonel from one of the Druze colonels from an elite brigade who was injured in Tsuk Eitan, and his only focus was to get back to his men to lead them on the battlefield in our war against Hamas terrorists in 2014. He did receive, I think it was a medal for his valor, and also strong Zionists. So for those who think that people who are not Jewish can't be Zionists, some of our most fervent and patriotic Zionists come from the Jewish community, and they are very, very precious to all of us here in Israel. And when two of our own Druze sons are cut down, the entire country goes into mourning.
100%. You know, it's actually amazing what can happen when a group of people actually accepts the reality on the ground and welcome the Jewish state in which they live in. And a reporter who broke the Dykemarch anti-Semitism story has lost her job.
Well, this I think we should be speaking more about, Hilt. Last week we heard that Gretchen Rachel Hammond, who was a reporter, I think it's for the Chicago Windy City Times, she was relegated from reporter to the sales department, which I think is kind of reporter speak for being put in Perda or being put in, you know, in Echerem or Cheda, as some would say. And now she's actually lost her job. And to me, this becomes a civil rights issue. And she has actually tweeted to the Dykemarch Twitter account. She says, you know, you attacked, you humiliated, and you robbed me of a job. And, you know, this is the Chicago Dykemarch. If you're not familiar with the history or you don't remember, sorry, I've got a frog in my throat.
Not a problem.
Jumped out of the hot water and into my throat. The organizers of a march actually asked several Jewish women, several Jewish proudly gay women to leave their march because they felt that the Magen David that was on their pride flag was inflammatory. And this particular reporter, Gretchen Hammond, brought that to public attention. She said, you know, these women were told to leave the march, and the Dykemarch responded by saying that they are anti-Zionist, they are anti-racist, and they are anti-violent. However, the language that they are using is similar to that used by David Duke, who heads up the Ku Klux Klan. In fact, they refer to Zio. They use the term Zio, which is a term used by the Nazis and by the Ku Klux Klan. So that pretty much goes to show where their allegiance lies. So much for inclusiveness. And they have said that, in fact, Gretchen responded to this tweet by Chicago Dykemarch, where they say, sorry, y'all, definitely didn't know the violent history of the term. We meant Zionist white tears replenish our electrolyte. I mean, that is just appalling on in every sense of the word. But I think that this is a civil rights case where a reporter has been humiliated, attacked, and has lost her job because she exposed this kind of gross anti-Zionist racism that was propagated by the Chicago Dark March.
Okay, so she told the story correctly. She was honest in her reporting.
She was honest in her reporting. She was transparent in her reporting. And apparently, honesty and transparency and exposing racism wherever it may occur did not go down well with this particular organization, who have quite unequivocally said that they are anti-Zionist and that Zionists, and in this case, Jews, because they had a mug in David, are not welcome at their marches. This exposes them for the bigots that they are.
Okay, well, so much for freedom of speech. I see that that seems to be thriving in the United States at the moment.
Exactly.
So, Ro, we've actually got a couple of messages from some of our listeners. One of our listeners, obviously referring to the upgrade of the non-Orthodox prayer area, has said that it's a total waste of money for a bunch of hypocritical Reformed Jews. Which I don't.
I'm not even going to countenance that comment. I don't like the singling out of Reformed Jews. You know, as Howard and I have discussed, it may not be our particular way of worshiping, but I respect the right of Reformed Jews to express their Judaism the way that they want to, and I'd like to call on our listeners to show respect, and I cannot countenance a comment like that.
I agree with you 100%, and it also goes to show that when they put a comment like that, that they don't put their name on, so they obviously aren't very proud of the comment itself. And another listener has said that the Saudi king has supported the metal detectors on the Temple Mount.
Well, we've had, and I'm glad that this has been raised, because we've had such incredible overtures towards Israel coming from the new Saudi Crown Prince Salman. I think that we are seeing a change in temperature in the Middle East. I really do, and I think that we should watch the space, because I think that there are countries in our region that are waking up to the fact that Israel is not the enemy, that we are there to not only safeguard ourselves and our allies against terror, but that we are also there to be responsible for the worshipping of all worshippers that come to our holy places. And this is why I will not countenance comments like the one before, because my country is doing its best, even though we have had this controversy, to ensure that however you choose to worship, it is safeguarded and it is respected.
100%. And let's not forget that Israel is the Jewish state. It's not the Orthodox Jewish state. It is the Jewish state for all Jews.
It is a democratic Jewish state. And we also have minority communities, and we respect their right to worship the way that they do, and we'll do everything in our power to ensure that freedom and that safety.
100%. Rolene, thank you so much for another informative report. I look forward to speaking to you tomorrow.
Thank you so much, Hilt. Same time, same place, same soapbox.
Can't wait.